Jesus, help us. You can't have flesh and his glory both operating as first. There has to be one first. In the context of a church, a life, a family, there can only be one first. Oh, hallelujah. And no flesh can see the glory, because if flesh is on the throne, glory's nowhere near it. Jesus, help us right now. So from this story of Moses, we have to decide, you and I have to decide, if we want to allow our flesh to rule and our flesh to reign. And here's, just stay with me, just give me your minds. Because it is possible, Brother Mitch, it's possible to allow our flesh to rule and still see the effects of glory. Our problem is going to be this. Will we become satisfied to merely see the effects, come on, Jesus, of glory? That's what our challenge is going to be. Oh, because we can allow our flesh to still rule and still see the effects of glory. This has everything to do with worship. For is that which we value the highest what he does, or is what we value the highest who he is? I need your minds right now. Do we want that which his glory can affect, or do we want his glory? What his glory can affect is miracles, blessings, benefits, signs, and wonders. Nothing wrong with any of those things. They're biblical, and we should be seeing more of them. That is the benefit that God has. But what if we are esteeming the miraculous greater than the miracle worker? The effects of his glory greater than his glory. What if we have put the effects of his glory on the throne of what we worship, what we seek, what we pursue, instead of the one who is the glory? See, because we have to understand, hear me, if we desire what he gives more than we desire him, then that is a sure sign that he is not first. He's not first. And it does, see, because here's what we do. Jesus, help us right now. Every time we've been talking about other things on the throne, maybe in our minds we've been thinking this sinful thing, this carnal thing, this relationship, this whatever. That's the stuff we've been thinking about. But the Lord is letting us know there's a whole lot of other stuff other than just that that we could put on the throne of our life. And this is why we have to be a people of prayer, because the enemy is very good at lying and deceiving. And he can lie to us, and if we'll believe the lie, we'll begin to put something as first that is not necessarily sinful in and of itself. It's not wicked. It's miracles. It's blessing. It's the effects of glory. That sounds really good. That sounds very spiritual. That sounds like a godly endeavor. The problem is we are pursuing after the effects of glory greater than we're pursuing after glory itself. And it doesn't matter what is in the throne. It doesn't matter what's in the throne. If it's not God, then we're not worshipers. Jesus, help us right now. See, here's the deal. And the Lord spoke this to me powerfully. I can allow my flesh, hear me, I can allow my flesh to remain in its current state and still see the effects of God's glory. To a certain extent, I can still see the effects of God's glory and allow my flesh to stay right where it's at. I don't have to change nothing. I don't have to do one thing. I don't have to repent for nothing. I don't have to take an introspective look. I don't have to release the presence of the Lord to examine me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't have to do nothing. I can stay just like I am and still see the effects of God's glory. But for me to allow my flesh to stay like it is also shows that God is not supreme in my life. He's not. Because I want to stay here. So now who is in charge? I don't want to change. So therefore I won't change. So who am I listening to? Whose will am I obeying? Mine. And if I'm obeying my will, then that means I'm sitting on the throne. Jesus, help us right now. And I can still see the effects of God's glory. I need to talk to us about this now. Please hear me very carefully. Seeing the effects of God's glory gives license to some people that they don't have to fully commit or fully submit themselves to the Lord. Why? Seeing the effects of God's glory causes some to give themselves permission to keep living like they're living and doing like they're doing. For after all, I'm encountering the effects of God's glory. I saw that witness or that blessing. The Lord, I was blessed. I was healed. I was touched. I'm seeing these things. I'm around these things. I'm seeing lives being changed. This, that, and the other. Whatever it is. And because I'm seeing the effects of glory, then I justify to myself that everything in me must be right. Jesus, help us. Does anybody feel the Lord talking to us today? And we justify ourselves. And this reality, I can't tell you how or why, but this reality just slammed home in my mind the last couple of days as I was interacting with an individual. That because we're seeing things happening, growth or this thing or this blessing or this whatever, then it must mean that God is pleased with us. If we're seeing this happen and this and this and this and this, how many know the church can grow and God's not pleased? Just because, Jesus, you've got to help us. You've got to give us revelation, Holy Ghost. We've got to be right with you because this church can grow and we can have to add whatever and build whatever, but we cannot ever get to the point where we think that just because we see growth that we're pleasing to the Lord, because growth is the effects of His glory. And it could be where I'm not where I need to be, and you're not where you need to be, but the effects of the glory of the Lord are still being seen, so we think everything is okay. God says it's not, because you got something else on the throne. Jesus. Jesus. Just Just lift your hands for just a moment. Just a moment. Jesus, help us right now. Lift your voice. See, watch this. Genesis 1, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved. But just because the Spirit of the Lord moved didn't mean that he was, that what he saw was pleasing to him. There was chaos. There was confusion. But how many times do we think that because we feel the moving of the Spirit that everything must be okay? That's the effects of glory. And I felt the moving of the Holy Ghost, so I must be doing everything right. No. We talked about this in one of our first lessons of this series. But it wasn't until after the Spirit of the Lord moved and it began to draw lines and distinctions. It began to set order and boundaries. And it was only after all of that that the writer of Hebrews tells us that the glory of the Lord came upon man. But how many times do we look and say, the Spirit's moving, so everything must be okay. And the Spirit's trying to bring definition to our lives. And he's trying to bring order to our lives. And he's trying to change this and order this and get this out and remove this. But because we're content with the effects of the moving of his Spirit, then we just think everything's okay. And the Lord says, yes, my Spirit is moving, but you don't experience my glory. Oh, Jesus, help us. God, help us to never become that church. Where because we look at growth, or because we look at this, that, or the other, or a move of God, or something that happens in our service, and we look at all of those things and we think, because of that, we must be pleasing in his sight. That's the effects of the glory. Jesus, help us right now. Help us right now. Help us, Jesus. I'm thankful for the effects of his glory. Don't get me wrong. I want signs, wonders, and miracles greater than we've ever seen them before. I just want his glory more. You see, because when you have his glory as the preeminence, everything else is a byproduct. Jesus help. It's a byproduct. I don't have to seek after signs. If I'll seek after him, signs happen. I don't have to seek after the miraculous. If I seek after the miracle worker, miracles happen. Am I making any sense? So I don't want to become satisfied living out my life in such a way as to only see and become willing to see and satisfied with the effects of God's glory. I want my life to be in such a way as to do whatever I have to do in order to actually see the manifestation of his glory. If I don't ever see another miracle, but I get to see his glory. Jesus, help us right now. I don't want what he does to be what I'm after. I want to be after who he is. That's worship. Because we'll seek after who's first. We'll pursue after what is preeminent. I know my flesh likes that which God has to offer. Whose flesh doesn't like a blessing? A miracle, a breakthrough, a financial whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to be willing to crucify my flesh to the point where my greater desire becomes to simply see him high and lifted up. That's where I got to get to. And that's where we've got to get to, where we crucify every bit of flesh that is sitting on the throne of our life in order to get to the point where he is high and lifted up above everything else in our life. I don't care about the effects of your glory. I want to move beyond that, and I want to get into the dimension of your glory. I want your glory. Said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Worship isn't about saying enough praise words so that God in turn will give us a blessing. If we have that mindset and that mentality, it's wrong. Legalistic. Well, if I go up there and praise him hard enough, he'll give me a blessing. No. True worship happens when an individual has so esteemed the Lord that he becomes the only thing that they're pursuing after and the only thing that their heart desires. And the great thing about it is this: when you put the miracle worker on the throne, miracles happen. Come on. You tell me if when the glory of the Lord fills this house and because we pursue just his glory, are you telling me that when his glory's in this house, nothing's going to happen? No, sir. No, ma'am. But when we pursue him just for him, and when we put him high on the throne of our life, our worship releases the glory of the Lord. And when his glory is released, miracles are going to happen. Signs and wonders are going to happen. Addicts are going to be delivered. Lives are going to be changed. Marriages are going to be put back together. But that cannot be what we're looking for. We've got to be looking for him. All of that other stuff will happen. Come on, put your hands together. Everybody okay? I see the runway. But I watch this. Watch this. We've already seen that Moses. Just stay with me, all right? Stay with me, please. Moses in his flesh could not see the glory of God. In his flesh, he could only see the effects of it, but he couldn't see it, couldn't see him. But then look at what John said in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, just stop for a moment. Let me just quickly digress so we can move forward. But here we see John on the island of Patmos, and he says that he got into the Spirit on the Lord's day. What I need for you to see is that phrase, I was in the Spirit, is the Greek phrase that literally means I came to be in the Spirit, or I became in the Spirit. It denotes something that was worked. Not just something that happened. Am I making sense? It denotes something that was desired passionately. Enough to pursue after it. It was not something that just happened quickly. It was not something that just happened easily. He was not just sitting under a palm tree on the island and all of a sudden, boom, he's in the Spirit. But he purposed to get into the Spirit. He worked to get into the Spirit. It was something he was intentional about because he desired it greatly. So how was he intentional about getting into the Spirit? I believe the rest of Scripture would give us direction and insight for getting into that place in the Spirit where the Spirit is leading us and the Spirit is reigning. And the Spirit, I was in the Spirit. The Spirit is reigning. The Spirit is my authority. The Spirit is leading me. The Spirit is all and all. How do we get there? Romans 8 and 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Here we go again. but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you're going to be focused and pursuing the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Oh, Jesus. Another passage would say it like this in Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Don't live after the flesh. Don't let your flesh rule. It's not your will. It's not your way. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do kill the deeds of this body, you're going to live in the Spirit. So how do we get into the Spirit, John? How do we get it? It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen because we're faithful to church. It doesn't just happen because we clap when we're supposed to clap, sing the latest song, dance a little bit. That's not how we get into the Spirit. We do so because we mortify or crucify the deeds of our flesh. The only way to get into the Spirit is to crucify everything that can keep us from it. The flesh, my fleshly will, my fleshly desires, my fleshly thoughts, my fleshly everything. I got to crucify it. I got to mortify it. I got to put it on an altar. I got to kill it. And how many know that's not easy? You don't just get into the Spirit easy. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes doing things that are uncomfortable. I don't want to do this in my flesh, but I'm going to kill it. Come on, Jesus. I don't want to do this. It's inconvenient to me, but I'm putting my flesh on an altar and I'm going to kill it. This isn't what my flesh wants to do, but more than having my flesh as sitting on the throne of my life, I want the Spirit to sit on the throne of my life. So how bad do we want to get that place? This is the question the Holy Ghost is asking all of us. How bad do we want to get to that place? Are we willing to put everything on the cross? Are we willing to put everything on the altar? Are we willing to crucify every bit of flesh that is in us? Are we willing? It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not what we want in our flesh, but we're going to crucify the flesh. And so when we do, we get into the Spirit. Spirit. And the Spirit is ruling. And the Spirit is reigning. And the Spirit is sitting high. And the Spirit is my authority and my ruler. So John gets into the Spirit. And he has this encounter. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. And I'm almost done. Revelation 1 and 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, I saw him. I saw him. One, verse 13, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with golden girdle. I saw his head. I seen it. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Ready? And his countenance, or his face. Moses, I can't show you my face. John, face to face. And I saw his countenance, his face, and it was as the burning sun. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Moses, in your flesh, the best you could ever encounter was the effects of God's glory. And the Lord specifically tells you, you're never going to see my face. But John is showing us, I'm almost done, stay with me. John is showing us that when we become willing to crucify our flesh in order that we might operate in the leading, the authority, and the power, the supremacy of the Spirit. In that dimension, we'll be able to see His glory. His glory in a capacity like we've never seen it before. His glory on a level we've never seen it before. Moses in his flesh could only see the effects, but John could look. Could look. Glory. Glory. Show me your glory. Show me. And so it is. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus, help us right now. So it is, I believe the Lord has heard the heart's cry of this church as we sing and as we pray, show me your glory. And so the Lord says, all right, let me take a few services, and if you really want to see it, let me take a few services and speak to you about what it takes to see it. Because is it just something you want to sing about, or is it something you actually want to experience? Stand to your feet, would you? Stand to your feet.